Today's podcast is going to be an audio-only podcast, and today's podcast is going to be mostly focused on an interview we're going to have with a very special guest. Moving forward, when we have interviews, we're going to center the podcast itself around that particular interview, so you won't hear the normal format that you're used to with the Exiles. Enjoy the show.
We will not build the church according to the changing whims of an ungodly culture. We will change that ungodly culture by the power of the immutable gospel.
Welcome to the We the Exiles podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Wood, along with my co-host and brother, as always, Chandler Wood.
I am your brother, as always.
We appreciate you joining us today. In this podcast, we examine Christian culture in the light of Scripture. We believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, and our goal is to help others be bold and stand firm in a world that is increasingly anti-Christ.
And with that, we pray, Jesus Christ, may you be glorified and give us wisdom to speak clearly and boldly about your unchanging truth.
And I know I said last week that last week's episode, being audio only, we were going to transition back into today's episode with our normal broadcast and audio-only podcast, but life would have other things happen, such as our camera, for some reason, doesn't want to cooperate with us today, so that's why we're audio-only as well, but we will go back, you know, hopefully, to our original format next week.
Don't make promises.
Yeah, I'm not going to make promises, but we do intend to always keep up with the broadcast version as well as audio podcasts as well. So,
well, I've got some exciting news for our listeners.
All right,
we actually have rolled out some merch items. We've talked about doing this for a little while, but we wanted to take time on it, and then the time came to where we could actually get it up and going. So, right now we only have a couple of items, but what we want to do is start putting out like a design a month. A shirt design a month, and we might put that on like a couple of items, like a shirt or a hoodie. This month is a shirt with a design that says, "Lord, kill my pride," and it has Proverbs 16:18 referenced under it. It's a really cool design, and if you know you're familiar with our podcast, you know that we talk about killing our pride a lot, and we talk against our pride, so we thought that was very fitting. You can find that on wetheexiles.com/store. We have that design on a shirt and a hoodie, and then we also have two items that are just kind of generic to We the Exiles, which is our little torches. We have that on a shirt and a hat. But yeah, we would encourage you to check it out, because if you're not a supporter of ours on Patreon, which is the main place where we push people to support, this is another great way to support our ministry. So if you're not really wanting to do the Patreon thing, you can support us by purchasing a shirt or an item on our store. So wetheexiles.com/store mm-hmm. is where you can find those items.
Yeah, and yeah, there's a few, you know, We the Exiles dedicated We the Exile merchandise that it just has our torches logo, that shirt, and that hat. But majority of the content that we want to create with the We the Exile store isn't necessarily brand driven. We want to we want it to do it well, and so we want to create shirts every month, like Chandler said, a design a month, and then we'll hopefully build up different designs over time. But our goal is to create types of shirts and things of that nature that you actually want to wear, that's not just promoting We the Exiles, because we want it to be an outlet to where what you're buying is obviously supporting us, but we're not really trying to use it as a platform to advertise We the Exiles. We want to create good quality and well-designed material.
Yeah, and designs that provoke people to, ask questions, like, "Lord, kill my pride." That's kind of an odd thing to wear, but it could create conversation, and it could be a way for you to tell people, wow, pride is bad. And along with that, I was going to say that you cannot get a We the Exiles mug on our store.
Right.
That's only through our Patreon page. So if you want to support us you know, more long term, Patreon's the place to do it, and you can get Are We the Exiles mug that's exclusive to that.
Exclusive to that, and along with that comes obviously all of the benefits that we've talked about in previous episodes. If you want to see some of those, you can go to I haven't put the blueprint or the chart. Did you put the chart on our website?
No, not on our website. I put it on our Patreon.
And you put it on our website. But some of the things that we're doing with the Exiles that we've talked about in several episodes, some of them are just Patreon exclusive, like our Sojourner magazine. Mm-hmm. And then everything that we are creating in the future with We the Exiles, obviously, if you're a Patreon supporter, you get early access mm-hmm. to those things.
And our mug talk, I would highly encourage you guys to become supporters so you can hear that, because I think it's a really fun and really beneficial, just extra podcast to what we're doing that you can only get through being a supporter. So anyway.
Right. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we get back, we're going to jump right into our interview.
Where did you get that mug?
This thing? I thought you'd never ask. I got this sweet mug becoming a supporter of the We the Exiles podcast over at patreon.com. Becoming a supporter is easy. For only $10 a month, you can support the ministry of We the Exiles.
Only $10?
That's right. Not only do I feel satisfied drinking out of this amazing mug, it brings me great joy knowing that I'm supporting a Christ-exalting ministry. So head on over to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/WeTheExiles, and become an exile today.
Today on the podcast, we have a very special guest joining us. He is the founder and director of Media Gratier out of New Albany, Mississippi, which I did not know initially whenever I first heard about this company that they were actually so close to where we are, but their desire is to produce film, print, and other media for the glory of Christ and for the good of His church. It's our pleasure to welcome Matthew Robinson on the show today. Matthew, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. I guess to start out, we start out with all of our guests like this. You mind giving a brief background of Media Gratier, and as well share a little bit of your testimony, if you would?
Sure. Yeah. Well, as briefly as possible, I was raised in a conservative Presbyterian church in Tupelo, Mississippi, and went to an independent fundamental King James only school, and was very confused theologically, but thankfully was catechized and taught the truths of the faith. Those did not come to be living realities for me until I was somewhere around the age of 30. And that happened sitting under the preaching of the gospel at the church where I'm currently a member, Christ Church New Albany. And I was, the Lord allowed me to go through a lot of different neighborhoods from full-blown atheism and anarchism and whatever, you know, lots of isms on the left side of the spectrum, all the way to I was actually saved out of being a conservative homeschool dad. So there's hope for even conservative homeschool dads out there in Christ if you can lay down your self-righteousness and lay hold of His righteousness. Mm-hmm. Was sitting under the preaching of the gospel, and Dr. John Snyder is the pastor who was preaching here, and is still one of the pastors here in Christ Church, and he was preaching a series on the doctrine of God, and that was the series that the Lord really used to bring me into contact with who He really is in His Word, and John is very faithful to point men, women, and children to Christ in His preaching each time. And so coming to Him and coming to be gripped by these realities, many of which I was familiar with and had been familiar with most of my life, had a very strong desire to make these things known. And so assumed that would be through primarily the pulpit, because I do believe that God's ordinary means of grace and His primary means of making Himself known is by the preached Word of God. I got a job at a place in Tupelo called the American Family Association, which is a very large kind of cultural conservative talk radio, and they do lots of different kinds of things. And went there as a graphics guy because they would work with people who were going to go to seminary. And so I let them know, hey, I want to go to seminary. And they said, we'll make time for you to do that. And so even though doctrinally and methodologically that was not a good fit, there are some really great Christian folks who work there, and it was a good experience. And while I was there, I was tasked with helping to basically start a video department there. And they asked John Snyder if he would do a video series on whatever he wanted to do it on. And he said, well, I'd like to do it on who God is. Mm. And so that wound up becoming the first thing that we produced, which is called Behold Your God, Rethinking God Biblically, which is about a 12-week study on the character of God, where we travel around to England and Scotland and Wales, and we incorporate people from church history into the teaching, showing men and women who have lived on the reality of who God reveals himself to be in his word. And we also brought in some friends, guys like Conrad Mbewe and Paul Washer and Richard Owen Roberts and some others who contributed interviews to that study. And that was released. It was actually released by the American Family Association, but I said, why don't we release it under the name Media Gratiae, which is just a cool name. It means the means of grace and has the word media right there in it. And so I thought, why don't we release it under this name? And that way, if people hate it, you can say, well, that's them. And if people love it, you can say, well, that's us, you know? And so, and also providing a bit of separation, for the people who were involved in it as well. And so that was received really, really, really well, by that. It was aimed right at the sort of middle American evangelical audience, who have probably not heard much about, church history and have not done much theology proper and really been confronted with the realities of the gospel. And, so that was received really well. And to make a very long story as short as possible, we became an independent nonprofit in the year 2015 with a board of directors. And we've been adding staff ever since, a little at a time. And so now there are depending on how you hold your mouth, there are four people who work here. And Stephen McCaskill, who just moved down from Canada to Mississippi to work to be the co-director with me. Some of you guys will know Stephen from his films Luther and Through the Eyes of Spurgeon. Yeah. And
very familiar with it.
He's been working with us for a long time, since way back in 2015.
Wow.
And that's a cool story in itself, but he's now working with us full time as the co-director. And we have Teddy James and AC Floyd are guys here in New Albany who produce content and make sure bills are paid and that sort of thing. And now here we are.
Cool. Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. I was actually introduced to you through that Behold Your God study. Initially, that's how I found out about Media Gratiae to begin with. And I didn't even know, I just saw that. I didn't even know that it was originally linked up with the American Family Association. So that's pretty interesting. But altogether, and with Stephen McCaskill, that's great. I'm very familiar with both of those, I guess you would say, documentaries on those men of faith. What is, I guess now, so now this is the full-time thing for you. What is the goal moving forward? Obviously, you are obviously going to release more content. I know that you guys just released, I guess we can start there. Do you mind talking a little bit about the current release that y'all just released through Media Gratiae?
No, I'd be happy to. In fact, there are a few, but the main one is the Puritan Project. And that is, there's a film, a feature-length documentary called Puritan, All of Life to the Glory of God. And that's part of a deluxe edition box set that is reminiscent of the kind of thing when you could go back in the good old days when you could go into record stores and you could buy, you know, the entire Crosby, Stills, and Nash library, and it would be in a very decorative package, and you'd have all these cool little mementos in it and that kind of thing. So in a day where selling DVDs is basically, I mean, I don't have anything to play a DVD player, to play a DVD on in my house, but we like to make really nice packages for people who are into that kind of thing. And there's 30 some odd lessons, that are also part of the package. You may have Mark Dever for teaching for 15 minutes on who is Richard Sibbs and why, you know, what lessons could apply to our lives from him. Or you may have Joel Beakey teaching on what was the Puritans' view of marriage, and or what was, how did they approach family and work and that sort of thing. So there are also books and workbooks and a ton of behind the scenes and other kinds of video footage in that package. You can take a look at it at mediagratier.org. And since that is an obscure and hard to spell Latin phrase, we also have the meansofgrace.org, which will point you right to mediagratier.org.
How long did it take to put something like that together, specifically the recent Puritan release?
Yeah, well, so David Woolen at Reformation Heritage Books. He's Joel Beakey's kind of right-hand man and a graduate of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, and he's the sales and marketing manager for RHB, Reformation Heritage. He's become a friend. We are on the conference circuit a good bit, so we may be together at Ligonier and at Shepherd's Conference and at the Desiring God Conference and, you know, G3. And so we'll often find ourselves out to eat together and catching up. And so for a couple of years, we've talked about, you know, he said, we should do something together. We should RHB and Mediagratia. And so somewhere Dr. Beakey got in touch and talked about, hey, I'd really like to work together and do basically the an on-ramp to the Puritans that would be on a popular level that we could just put out in any church, anywhere, any Christian who loves the Lord and loves his word, but has not really encountered Puritans, or maybe they've gotten some bad information, they can just jump right into it. So that was late 2017. And I immediately recruited my buddy, Stephen Caskell, who I mentioned at that time was not working for Mediagratia, but was working with us from time to time, and asked him if he would be willing to direct the project, which he was. And so we started to lay out a vision for what that would be, and got Dr. Beakey and others to recommend people that we should interview. And we recruited a fellow named Barry Cooper, who's now works for Ligonier, but he's the, you would know him from Luther. He's the presenter on Luther and hosts several podcasts now for Ligonier. We had him write the script and jumped in, and it's still, you know, it's rolling off the manufacturer's machines right now. So from late 2017 to late 2019, we have, we've been making Puritan.
Wow. I saw that you're connected in some way with the American Gospel release. How are y'all connected to that?
Well, Brandon Kimber is a friend. He's the director, and Brandon is literally a filmmaker. I mean, I know that we make films, but he's a filmmaker. He works for an organization called Transition Studios, and it's funny, man. They make what they know and do really, really well is true crime stories. Wow. And Brandon, look into it. He did a film on White Boy Rick in Detroit. And actually had his prison sentence, which was unjustly high. The film that they made about him actually got him released. And they did another film. Yeah, they did another film on a man who was wrongly convicted of murder that actually had the judge overturn the case. So he's out there he's out there working in a part of the world that is totally foreign to me, but it's incredibly effective, and his films are really good. And so his desire to make American Gospel was kind of connected with his coming out of being raised around or in the Word of Faith kind of prosperity gospel stuff, and coming to know the gospel. And so as he's having his own journey out of that, he's beginning to make a film because that's just his second nature. And so we had worked together some. We worked together to do some interviews at the G3 conference, for instance, a couple of years ago, and have gotten to be friends. And so we distribute that. Since people are coming to Media Gratier to watch movies, we want to be able to, you know, if there are really good Christian movies out there, we want to be able to get them in front of people. So that's our relationship. It's mostly one of friendship, but there's also a distribution aspect to it as well.
Gotcha. I guess this is a good way to segue, because you're in Christian media one way or another with this. From time to time, we examine Christian media on this podcast and what we do with the Exiles.
I'm sorry.
Do what?
You may have to start that over again.
Okay.
I couldn't resist.
No.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're sorry.
I'm sorry you have to do that.
Well, we do that for a few reasons. One, we want to be – a lot of people just don't know. They're oblivious to a lot of things out there. Obviously, you know that as well. So, yeah, I guess, can you speak on that a little bit, like the state of Christian media? We talk a lot about modern, let's say more popular Christian culture. We're pretty critical of it. What is your point of view and perspective of Christian media? Let's just talk about film, and we can even talk about music if you have a point of view on that as well.
Sure. I mean, I'll have to go pretty big picture.
Yeah, that's fine.
What is, you know, imagine somebody, you know, saying like, I'm really into Christian chairs, you know, or man, these Christian skateboards are awesome. What makes a film a Christian film? Mm-hmm. Is it because it was made by a Christian? I mean, you know, a chair could be made by a Christian and it may not be a Christian chair. Now, clearly, there's going to be a message in film, and there's going to be a message in music. And if we just think about film, I don't want to disparage, you know, anybody. I don't have anything negative to say about anyone in particular. But when you think of the kinds of Christian films where, you know, they're going on along life, and then boom, here's a problem, and then boom, here's, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and then boom, they kick the field goal and they win, or the marriage stays together, or whatever. The reason Christianity is so wonderful is because it is reality.
Right.
You know, reality is just another word for truth. Mm-hmm. It's just what's real in the world, and those kinds of things aren't really real. And so I'm not sure that you could really call it a Christian film when it's just because there's a part in a film or in a movie where in the plot, somebody interjects, you know, something close to a gospel presentation at a key moment. That doesn't really seem to reflect reality in life. And I don't know that I have the right answer. How do you make a Christian film? Is it possible to do that? There are men who are filmmakers, and one of them is a dear friend. I'd love for you guys to look into Michael David Perkins, who is here in Tupelo, Mississippi, who just did a film called The God Who Speaks on the Authority of the Scriptures. He's involved in a documentary right now on God's pattern for sexuality. And he went to SCAD and has been thinking through film and how it relates to truth telling for years. And he has a theology of film, and I really respect that. But for me, film is a way to communicate. It's a means by which we can communicate truth. And I've approached that through literal truth telling, whether that's preaching and teaching and Bible study videos, or whether that's in documentary where we're tracing what God has done, or we're biographically. There's a film that we did on Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones called Logic on Fire, and it tells the story of how God intervened in this man's life and how the rest of his life he lived in the grip of these realities that God is who he says he is in the scriptures. And so you're able to see something that's real about who God is by watching how he literally worked in this person's life. I know my way around there. I know the dangers there. You want to avoid hagiography. You want to avoid saying, oh, you know, the Puritans, they never did anything wrong. And they just, you know, they were just aware of God's presence with them at all times when, you know, they were men, and the best of men are men at best. So I want people to leave a film that we make about a man or about men being really impressed with the God that these men encountered, and saying, oh yeah, these guys were made out of the same stuff that I am. And that's not very impressive.
Right. Yeah. It's one thing we've discussed, and it's crazy because we want Christian film, music, whatever, to have a striving for excellence in it. But we also believe you can strive for excellence and still have truth. There's no need to undercut truth for excellence. And it just seems like, and a lot of times there just seems like one of the two are missing, right? If they're trying to put truth out there, a lot of times it's there or it can be there, but then it's also very poorly done. They're striving for excellence, but they're completely overlooking, like we're saying, reality or the truth of Christian life or any scripture whatsoever, or looking at the Bible doctrinally, any of that. And so what impresses us, like with Media Gratia and all these, some of the people that you've mentioned, is, and the reason that we want to support and endorse that is because there's both of those things are there. There's excellence in the production quality, but then there's also excellence in the truth part of it as well. And those things are valuable to have for sure. Looking at Christian media in a different way, though, what is your, and this, I guess, in some way can be an opinionated question, but as far as the time spent for Christians viewing secular forms of media, what do you have a perspective on that, or an advice or an opinion in some way or another on that, like the amount of time that Christians spend consuming secular media?
Yeah, well, I mean, if we're Christians, we would have to define what we mean by that, right? Because where we live in America, I mean, and especially here in the Mid-South, I think it's kind of a identity politics. Like, look, I'm not a Muslim. I'm a Christian, you know? But if we are the kind of Christian that the scripture describes, then we care about, and we recognize that the Bible is our one rule of faith and practice. And the Bible does say things about setting no unclean thing before our eyes. Right. And it tells us the kinds of things to think about. And, you know, yeah, I think you have to do business with that. And I don't know exactly how that is. I also confess that Christ is Lord of the conscience, and where his word is not spoken directly, I think it is, it's borderline, if not sin, to bind a man's conscience where the Lord Jesus has not bound it. And so I wouldn't want to make a hard and fast rule to say, look, you know, only watch like the first 10 minutes of some show, or never watch that or whatever. Right. But I think that you would have to do business with what God has said in his word about what we are to look at and to think about, and then to really check your life. I mean, you know, how much time do I spend just letting things float by in my newsfeed on social media and that kind of thing that is really just, it's almost just brain candy, you know, to relax. If you find that you don't have things to do, if you find that you don't have the time to do the things that matter, I mean, you have to reevaluate your life and get rid of the things that don't matter, right? You know, cut those things out.
Yeah. We just did our last episode. Was actually Christians and television, and we played a few clips. We played something from Washer on television, and from a guy named Tim Conway. He runs I'll Be Honest. Yeah. And we were talking about that because we talk a lot with the millennials because of our age and just the people that we have conversations with on the regular. And so, like, this show is really geared towards the millennial age group. Specifically, we're trying to reach millennial Christians, and but we're also trying to ask hard questions that I feel like a lot of times gets swept under the table, or people don't want to talk about it because it's can be deemed somewhat legalistic, and a lot of people are scared of that word, right, and they don't understand actually the proper terminology when it comes to legalism. I think a lot of times too, the big thing that we see and that we're really trying to bring conversation about is really just the downplay of holiness in the Christian life.
Yeah.
With Christian media, that's just something, or not Christian media, just media in general, secular media, and the time that we spend, but not only the time we spend, actually, what, like you said, what we're setting before our eyes. And so it's important to talk about those things, because I just don't see a lot of conversation surrounding those things. And if it is, a lot of people are quick to, well, we're not going to go there. Like you said, and I agree, because in some instances, yeah, we're not going to bind someone's conscience where it isn't, but it's definitely, I think, a conversation that we're not having enough of, because we're scared. I think a lot of times we're scared because, yeah, we don't want to be the type of people who pronounce one thing one way when Scripture clearly doesn't pronounce it that way. But at the same time, Scripture does say we shouldn't set anything worthless before our eyes. So we have to deal with that. We can't just, oh, well, it says that, and then move on. We have to deal with it or struggle with it, and we should be struggling with it.
And being serious about obedience to God's word is not legalism at all.
Right.
That's just the Christian life.
And that's kind of the thing where we've been a lot lately growing up. We're from, born and raised in the Jackson, Mississippi area. We grew up in a Southern Baptist context. It wasn't till high school age for us that that God really opened the door to Reformed theology in our lives. We really began to understand His Word, and since then, that's really been the way it has been for us. And it's crazy because there's some shift to that. Like we've seen Reformed theology or just good theology in general kind of have a resurgence, especially amongst young people such as us. But at the same time, it's what we've seen to some degree with young Reformed Christians is more aspects on the freedom we have in Christ and less on like actually, hey, we need to examine our lives with the Scripture and actually see, we got this grace part down, but we're missing, this strive for holiness in our lives. And we've seen that a lot, especially where we in Jackson, with a lot of churches that we are friends with, and a lot of people that we do life with. It's like when we bring up conversations on holiness, there is a, people are less forthcoming. Let's put it that way when we talk about that, and that's understandable. And our goal was never to come across as we're just, taking a whip.
You guys are the serious ones.
We're sinful men. We understand. It's just, man, when we read God's word, when we read faithful men of old, such as the Puritans or Martin Lloyd Jones or Spurgeon, who I'm a big fan of, it's just like there's a difference, and I think a lot of the difference is time and how we spend what we spend our time doing, and so just analyzing that as a whole, and that's. With organizations like yours and other organizations and with things like what Stephen McCaskill's done and things like American Gospel, these are beneficial things that I'm glad exist for us, because they're great. Well, one, they're great learning tools, especially something like American Gospel, where now, we're battling things like the NAR and on top of the Word of Faith. And so it's just there's so much out there saying this is truth, this is truth, this is truth, and well, we know there is the truth, and trying to battle or come across with things that are well made, and we're a society of just consumers. We consume daily of everything that's put in our face, pretty much, and how you wade the waters of all of that. So
Well, it's very humbling, and I appreciate being put into the category of things that are good in terms of holding the reality of and then also making, striving to make it well. Mm-hmm. And there's so much that I want to say to what you just said, yes and amen to the reality is without holiness, there is no heaven. Mm-hmm. There's a book with that actual title published by the Banner of Truth, No Holiness, No Heaven, Antinomianism Today. And it's an incredibly helpful little thin book if anybody out there is trying to think through how that fits together. But I think briefly, if you'll allow me to say,
yeah, absolutely.
It's a wrong way to think of it. If any of your listeners are hearing what you guys are saying and thinking, okay, so you have grace on one side and then, well, basically you have holiness. Sorry. You have legalism on one side and antinomianism on the other side.
Right.
So law is going to make me, okay with God, and then law, it doesn't matter. Those are not opposite ends of the spectrum. Those are actually the opposite sides of the same coin, and are opposite sides of the same error. And both are damning. And so, it comes to, I think, through the work of the Spirit in us and beginning to see God as truly the source of all good. Mm-hmm. The best good that we've known in this world, even legal and good, not legal, but, lawful and good things that we have known joy in this world have just been drops from an absolutely infinite spring that is God himself. And to come to see that his law is an expression of his character, mm-hmm. and it is good.
Yes.
And that the path for us to walk, if we truly are Christians and we want to have fellowship with Christ, where is he walking? He's walking on that path of perfect obedience to his Father, because that's his food, and that becomes our food as his those who are indwelt by his Spirit. And so, and to speak to, it is encouraging to see more and more people coming out of kind of non-theological backgrounds and being gripped by the truths of Reformed theology. And that is certainly something that's happening. It's an undeniable reality. But as someone who grew up in the Presbyterian church, being a Calvinist was never cool. It was,
right.
It was pretty, it's pretty nerdy. Everybody that I knew there was, my dad was an accountant. He's pretty cool for an accountant, but there were, a bunch of dentists and other Presbyterians there, and none of them drinking and having tattoos and having cool t-shirts and that kind of thing. That was never that was never a big deal,
right?
It was just, and so to see that, it is discouraging to see people. I think that time will tell that much of the growth that seems to be happening of people who are coming to hold to the doctrines of grace. If they're really only impressed by how kind of shocking it is, like, man, this will really make my granddad mad when he finds out I'm a Calvinist, I can have a tattoo now, and I can have, I can drink a beer and have a beard or whatever. And look, if you've seen me, like I've got all three of those things, and have for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's what's interesting to you, when the newness of that wears off, whatever the next big, religious phase is, whether it's going the way of Josh Harris and abandoning it all and saying, look, this stuff just, there's really nothing to it. Or if there's a counter swing in culture and we experience the great Arminian, maybe the great Keswick, second blessing, higher life, resurgence in the next 20 years, and it's cool to be an Arminian, and it's cool to be a Wesleyan, with a wrong view of holiness.
Mm.
They'll probably just get swept right back up into that.
And yeah.
Time will tell,
Yeah, that's the thing, that the mark of who we are isn't the fact that, let's say, our freedom to do this, let's say drink or all that. It's not that. It's still Christ. And I think it's clear when you could tell someone is, because we've been in conversations, again, with new, let's just say young, new Reformed men and or younger men, and the mark of their speech is more of those things. It's the things that mark, you know, whatever the trend is, right? Let's just say with the new Calvinist or young Calvinist or whatever. And but their speech really doesn't, you know, speak of Christ. It doesn't really speak of the gospel. It doesn't really have that, you know, differing effect to it that obviously a believing heart would produce. And I'm not necessarily saying that they're not saved, but it's just clear. I mean, it's easy to tell, and we've talked about that too. And because we are younger guys, younger men, when we tend to bring these things up again, we're the unpopular voice because we're not. We're trying to, and all by the grace of God, trying to, you know, pursue holiness in a world that cares nothing about holiness. And and so the challenge sometimes for us is even being unpopular, right, and persecuted even amongst our peers, our own so-called peers. And it's crazy that it's like that, but that's how it is sometimes. And so, definitely encouraging conversation with you. We're not going to take too much of your time. Hopefully in the future we can maybe have you back on and continue the conversation. For everyone out there, if you're looking for good media, especially God-glorifying media, please check out mediagratier.org. And what was the more simplistic way to find you guys?
It's just the English translation of that phrase, which is the means of grace.
TheMeansOfGrace.org. You can find, they have some different Bible studies on there, Behold Your God, which I've been through, the Rethinking God Biblically. It's excellent, great place to start. Mm-hmm. They also have other forms of media, documentaries, things like that, that you can find out. So please check that out, support them, support what Matthew and his team are doing. And Matthew, we wish you the best, praying for you. And it's awesome that you guys are not far from us. So maybe we'll make our way up there at some point and actually get to visit with you guys in person. We'd love that.
Come on up to the Hill Country anytime, man. We'd love to see y'all.
Until next time, set your eyes on Christ and fight the good fight. This is With the Exiles.